Daf Mem Gimel. So the Mishnah had been talking about that when you recline, then one person can say the bracha for all. Rav says this is only talking about bread. However, wine does not need reclining in order for one person to say the bracha for all, because drinking wine automatically constitutes a suda. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, even wine requires reclining. But there's another way to teach this, Ikat Amri, another way of teaching this, that Rav says reclining is only, it only works for bread, however, not for wine, meaning you could never have one person say the bracha for everyone on wine. Rabbi Yochanan says reclining even works for wine. So we bring in a braisa that details the procedure for how they would have a meal. So the guests would enter, they would sit, and they would wash one hand, and they would drink the wine, and each person would say a bracha for himself. Then they would go to the dining room, they'd recline, they'd wash both their hands, and they'd drink wine, and one person here would say the bracha for everyone. So now we question both possible statements of Rav. So Rav, when he had said that only bread needs reclining, not wine, so how come for one person to say the bracha for all, so how come in the first case, when they're all sitting together, then they're drinking wine, each person says a bracha to themselves? That doesn't make sense. So we answered, no, since they're planning to switch rooms, it's a little different, and it doesn't apply. And we also questioned this other statement of Rav, that if you said that reclining only works for wine, how come when they were all reclining, if reclining only works for bread and it doesn't work for wine, how come when they were all reclining in the dining room, then they were able to have one person say the bracha for everyone in terms of the wine? So we answered that since they already set their meal on bread, so now they can also set their meal with wine. Even though you can't usually set your meal with wine, according to this opinion of Rav, and even if you reclined, it wouldn't help, since they already made their suda with bread, then they could. So our Mishnah had distinguished between wine that was brought during the meal versus wine that had been brought after the meal. So they asked Ben Zoma, how come during the meal, then everyone will say a bracha to themselves? However, if you bring wine after the meal, one person can say the bracha for all. And Ben Zoma answered that during the meal, everyone's focused on their meal and they can't focus on the bracha. However, after the meal, when they're not eating, they're able to focus on the bracha and join in with him with the proper kavana. We said that in the Mishnah that the person who makes the bracha on wine says the bracha on the incense. And this is teaching that even if there's someone who's superior to him, like a greater Talmud Chacham, this guy who said the bracha on the wine would still say the bracha on the Talmud Chacham, on the incense, which supports Rav, who says that the one who washed his hands first would lead the mezumin, presumably even if there was a greater Talmud Chacham there. Rav and Rav Chia were eating with Rebbe, and Rebbe told Rav to wash his hands. So Rav thought that this was like an insult, that his hands were not clean. He was a little upset. Rav Chia said, no, he's just telling you that he wants you to go wash your hands so you can lead the mezumin. Rav Abar Yirmiya says that when do you say a bracha on a smell? When you see the column of smoke rising, meaning for the incense that you're offering, it's when you see the column of smoke rising. Rav Zera questions this, but how can you say the bracha on the smell? Because you haven't smelled it yet. And he says, well, what are you talking about? When we say hamotzi, we haven't eaten the bread yet, and we still say it before we eat the bread, before we benefit from it. So clearly, all these brachos are said on what you're intending to do, what you're intending to eat and to smell. Rav says that all incense is barei atzei besamim. Blessed is like the creator of this wood, the fragrance of the wood, because incense is made by burning woods, except for musk, which is barei minei besamim, because it comes from an animal. You can't say atzei on the wood because it comes from an animal. However, we have a braisa which says that barei atzei besamim is only said on the balsam wood and the myrtle that's found in the houses of noblemen, meaning you only say the bracha on wood when you actually smell the wood itself. Incense would be barei minei besamim, which is a disproof to Rav, who said that incense is barei atzei besamim. Rav Chista says to Rav Yitzchak, what's the bracha on balsam oil? He answers that Rabbi Huda had said that you would say Berei Shemen Artenu, the creator of the oil of our land, talking about Israel. But Rav Chista says, no, don't go by Rabbi Yehuda, because he was like a fanatic about Eretz Yisrael. He was a little too into it. Rather, for the rest of us, we should say Berei Shemen Arev, blessed is Hashem for creating the pleasant oil. Rav Adabar Ava says that if you have this costis, then you'd say Berei Atzei Besamim. But if you dip the costis into oil, you would not say Berei Atzei Besamim on this oil. The Rav Kahana says, no, even if you dipped it into the oil, you would say Berei Atzei Besamim on the oil, but if you ground it up into oil, then you would not say Berei Atzei Besamim on the oil. The Nardai say, even if you ground the kasis into the oil, you would still say Berei Atzei Besamim. Rav says the bracha on jasmine is Atzei Besamim. Rav says the bracha on spikenard is also Atzei Besamim. And these two, even though these are two types of plants, you would still say Atzei Besamim on the wood, because Mar Zitra brings a pasuk that proves that plants with hard stalks, you would still are considered like wood. Rav Bisharshe said a rose in a garden is atzei basam because it has a hard stalk. If you find it in the wild, you would say asve, unlike the grass of basam, asve basamim. Rav Shesha says violets are asve basamim. Mar Zutra says if you smell an esrog or a quince, you would say baruch shenasan reach tov b'peros, that you gave a good smell, a good fragrance to the fruits. Rabbi Yehuda says he brings in the bracha that you would say on seeing fruit trees bloom in Nisan. Rav says that we learn that you have to make a bracha on smells from the pasuk of Kol Neshama Tel Alka. Every neshama will praise Hashem. And this is talking about when does a neshama praise Hashem? When the neshama gets pleasure that the body doesn't, which is for a smell. And this teaches that you have to praise Hashem for a smell. Rav says that in the future, the young men of Israel will all smell like the Lebanon forest. Hopefully that's a good smell. Rav says, what's the pasuk of Es HaKol Asa Yafeh B'Ito? Hashem made everything good in its proper place and in its proper time. And the answer is that it means that Hashem made everyone like their own craft. You know, even people like garbage men that they have, you know, jobs that might be dealing with like dirty things, even they're happy with their job. And Rav Papa says, that's like if you give a pig, you know, some clean food, it's still going to go and roll around with it in the mud before eating it instead of just eating it clean, which shows that everyone likes their own craft. Rav says that someone that's walking around holding a torch is like two people, and if the moon is shining, he's like three people in terms of warding off demons. So we asked, is this talking about two in addition to the guy or two people including the guy carrying it? So we said, well, look at the case of where you have the moon, that's equivalent to three people. Because we know that Mar says that a demon will appear and damage and harm one person. It will appear to two, but it won't harm those two. And by three, it won't even appear at all. So clearly, there's nothing special about four. There's no difference between three or four. So if we say that three for the moon is three including the person, that makes sense. But if we say it's three plus the person and there's four, then there's no reason to teach that because it's not teaching any difference in terms of three, four. It's all the same. So it must be that it's two or three people including the guy who's carrying it. Otherwise, there'd be no distinction if it's two plus the guy, meaning that he has a total of three, versus three for the moon plus the guy in total of four. They would both be exactly the same. So Rav says that it's better to jump in a furnace of fire than embarrass someone in public, which we learned from Tamar, who was willing to die rather than embarrass Yehuda. We said that if you have oil and myrtle, Beis Shammai says you say the bracha on oil and then the bracha on myrtle. Beis Hillel says you say the bracha on the myrtle and then the oil. And Gamliel says, I'm going to prove this, that oil, we get benefit from its fragrance and we can anoint it, but by myrtle, we only get benefit from its fragrance, but not, you can't anoint it. You can't anoint with it. And Rabbi Yochanan says, yeah, the halacha is like Rabbi Gamliel, that we say the bracha on the oil and then the myrtle. Rav Papa once said the bracha on the myrtle and then the oil, which was obviously the wrong order. And Rav Huna Breder of Ika says, what, you don't hold like Rabbi Yochanan, that it was supposed to be oil and then myrtle? And he says, oh, well, Rav says that the halacha is like Beis Hillel. However, that's not actually true. He just was trying to get out of being embarrassed. So if you have oil and wine, Beis Shammai says you hold the oil in your right hand, the wine in your left hand, and you make the oil on the wine, you make the bracha on the oil and then the wine. Beis Hillel says if you have you hold the wine in your right hand, the oil in your left hand, and you say the bracha on the wine and then the oil. And when you want to remove the oil from your hand, you would wipe it on the waiter's head. Unless the waiter is a Talmud Chacham, then you should wipe it on the wall because it's not befitting for a Talmud Chacham to go out on the street with this sweet-smelling oil, which makes it seem like he has perfume on him. And with this debrisa, which goes through a bunch of things that are unbecoming of a Talmud Chacham. The first is that they shouldn't go out to the street perfumed. Rabbi Yochanan says this pertains to a city where they're worried about homosexuality. Rav Shesha says they only can't go out with this perfume on their clothes, but on their body it's fine because they're going to sweat it out. Rav Papa says that your hair is like your clothes, meaning you can't have it on your hair, but some say that he said that your hair is like your body, and therefore you can't have it on your hair. The next thing is that they shouldn't go out alone at night. Why? Because it makes it look like very suspicious that they're trying to go do something promiscuous, unless they have a set time to learn with their Rebbe, and everyone knows that that's what they're going to do, to learn with their Rebbe, and that's why they're going out late at night. So the next thing is that they shouldn't go out with patched shoes, which supports Rebchia Bar Abba, who says that a Talmud Chacham shouldn't go out with patched shoes. However, Rebchia Bar Abba went out with patched shoes himself. So Mar Zutra Bereder of Nachman answers that you're not allowed to go out when you have patches on top of patches. And in the case of Rebchia Bar Abba, he only had one patch on. And then we cite a few more qualifications that it's only a problem on top, but on the bottom, it's not a problem. It's only a problem if it's on top, if you're going on the road. However, in your house, you can walk around with patches on top. And also, it's only a problem if it's during the summer, but in the winter, it's not a problem because it's so rainy and there's going to be a lot of mud. So that's going to cover up your patches. The next thing is that you shouldn't converse with a woman in the street. Rav Chisda says, even if it's your wife, and the Braisa says, even if it's your wife, your daughter, your sister, because people don't know who's your relatives, and it could just look like you're just talking to random women. The next thing is that you shouldn't go around with unlearned people, Amei Haaretz. Why? Because we're worried that you might be drawn after them. The next is that he shouldn't be last to the base medrash because people are going to call him lazy. The next is that he shouldn't walk with long strides because Mar says long strides take away 1/500th of your eyesight. But you can restore it by drinking the Friday night Kiddush. Some say you should dip the grape juice into your eyes. The next is that you shouldn't walk with an erect posture because Mar says that when you walk like this for Dalet Amos, for four Amos, you're like pushing away the feet of the Shechina. Shkayach.